The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Now, one of the blessings of being part of the Baptist churches is that it's really easy to show from Scripture that the Baptist denomination is the biblical one to follow. Because in Scripture, you don't read about Tom the Presbyterian or Harry the Lutheran or James the Pentecostal, but you do read about John the Baptist. The Baptist. So if your denomination gets named, you must be in the right place. Well, obviously, it's not as simple as that. We love all people from all denominations and all places, and we are God's people together, and we're working together for building God's kingdom together. But definitely when we think about John the Baptist, we do want to remember it's not because he was a Baptist in the terms of how we understand Baptist, but because that was his ministry calling. He was John the Baptizer. Matthew 3:1-6 tells us about the ministry of John. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. So John is the preacher of the hour. Thousands of people are traveling, some of them hundreds of kilometers, on foot to see John the Baptist. They're coming to John, they're hearing his message, they are confessing their sins, and they were being baptized. Then at some point in John's ministry, there's a little bit of a change. And we read about that change in John 3:22-30, which is going to be the focus of this morning. After this, so that's this is after the meeting that Jesus has with Nicodemus, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now, John was also baptizing at Enon near Salem, because there was plenty of water there and the people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He must become greater and I must become less." So in the mind of John's disciples, Jesus is direct competition. "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, that man you testified, that man, the one that you baptized," notice they can't even say his name, "that man, you gave him the credentials. Now he's stealing the show. You gave him the start, now he's taking advantage of you." In the minds of John's disciples, the people are now flocking to Jesus the Baptist. And the disciples are full of concern. Now, what was it that planted the seeds for this concern? Well, we read about the seeds of this concern in verse 25, where there's this certain Jew. I feel like we all know, they all knew who that guy was, but they didn't want to name him, this certain Jew. He came to the disciples of John, and he's got this red herring question and a distraction about ceremonial washing. And the certain Jew and John's disciples, they start having a disagreement and there's an argument. And then at some point in this time, the certain Jew has said something along the lines of this. Well, what would you know anyway? Do you realize that over in the Judean countryside, Jesus and his crew are also offering baptisms and everyone is going to him? I tell you, Jesus is now the next great thing. If this keeps up, your rabbi will need to change his name to John the Lonely Wet Swimmer. That's what this certain Jew is saying. Your ministry has passed its use-by date. It's all happening somewhere else. That certain Jew is no longer around, but his words are still heard in God's kingdom. The times when people say, remember that day when we baptized 30 people in one day? And that doesn't happen anymore. And then over at XYZ Church, they've got so many baptisms, they had to put in a new baptismal font. The unspoken implication is, something must be wrong here. Or remember that time we built our building and we didn't have any debt after we built our building, and now we can't even make our budget, and ABC Church down the road, they're building a multi-million dollar facility. And the unspoken comment being, we're obviously not as committed as they are or what we once were in the past. Look at that church with all those young people. Many of them used to be in our church. And now we're just sitting around watching everyone get old. And the unspoken criticism being, they took what we started. This is the language of the certain Jews who walk around causing arguments, and they're effective because they create this sense of speaking into a situation that may have a measure of truth, but it's really not truth. And what they're saying is things were better in the past, or things are happening better somewhere else because something is wrong here. But here's what we need to understand. Ministry is not and is never measured on the basis of what we perceive that we did more successfully in the past or how we're faring compared to what's happening in other places. What's happening in the past and what has happened in the past, in all churches, there's lots of things that are worth celebrating in the history of many churches. But I can also guarantee you that in many churches, if not most churches, there are also plenty of days when that church has gone through days which they wish never happened, and where spiritual breakdown was happening, and hurt, days where there was full-on hurt, those days which can even still today, even though these things happened in the past, still today have an impact. We have those days. This is the nature of what church is. But even in those places, what we need to remember is the church is not defined by their past. There are plenty of churches who have had brokenness and separation and all of these things, and yet today they are thriving churches that are serving the Lord. We don't measure on perceptions about what's happening in the past or comparing ourselves. That's not the metric. There will always be the certain Jews. The certain Jews who want to distract us. The certain Jews who want to cause arguments by measuring on the basis of perception. And then John the Baptist, in his response, he shuts down the argument of the certain Jews. In response, he says, "You yourselves can testify that I said, I'm not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. He must become greater and I must become less." John was very clear, very firm on his calling and what his calling was. He is to be the voice of the one calling out in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight the paths for him. That's how John started his ministry. John started his ministry fully aware that at some point nobody would be following him and everybody would be following the Messiah. That's what he wanted. Now, we are not John the Baptist, but there's a similar dynamic that applies to every kingdom ministry worker today. The first thing is we are not the Messiah. We are not the Messiah. We are sent before the Messiah. For us as a church, Jesus says to all of us, he says, go and make disciples. I'll be with you. I will empower you. I will help you, but I want you to go. I want you to go before me. We are sent by Jesus to go ahead of Jesus so that we can tell people about Jesus, that they can come to know Jesus. That's our calling. It's not about me. It's not about Mark. It's not about any of us. It's about Jesus and what Jesus is going to do through the ministries that we have. We are not the Messiah. And this especially is what ministry workers need to hear. We are not the Messiah. Because there are many of my colleagues, and I can speak to this in love, who have a Messiah complex, where they are the ones who should be followed, where their way and their character and their personality is the thing that holds the church together. And it's all about them. And so they put themselves in the place of Jesus. And instead of pointing people to Jesus, they kind of do that. But they're kind of saying, look at me, look at me. It's such a danger. And so here we need to look at what John is saying here, and he's saying, we are not the Messiah. I am not the Messiah. Ministry workers are not the Messiah. We are the ones who need to look at ourselves and always be asking ourselves, always, am I pointing the people to Jesus? Not to me. Am I pointing the people to Jesus? And as we go through that and as we measure that matrix, the best way to do that is in our lives, is Jesus becoming greater and we are becoming less. The best way to do ministry for all of us, whatever ministry we have, the best way that to do ministry is to get out of the way and let Jesus do what Jesus does best. And Jesus does things best when we let him do it his way. If someone had said, here's the best way of saving the world, someone's going to come and they're going to die. No human would think that up. This is a story of salvation that is from God alone and through God alone. Jesus' way is the best way. I'm going to come, I'm going to die, I'm going to take your place, and then after that, I'm going to rise from the dead again. Never happened in the whole of history. It's going to happen. And I'm going to do that for the salvation of those who need to call upon my name. When Jesus becomes greater and we become less, we get out of the way. Jesus is put into the central and people follow Jesus. John doesn't want people to look at John and say, hey, look how great John is. John wants people to look at John and he wants to say, wow, look at what Jesus is doing through the ministry of John. Ministry is about lifting up Jesus. And when we lift up the name of Jesus, we accept our calling as we serve in the place where God has put us. John says a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. It was John's calling. He knew it. John's calling to say, I go ahead, I make the path, I prepare the way, I will do all of the preparations, and then at some point I will step back. In fact, he ended up in prison, and then he was put to death. And he was very comfortable with that outcome because he was doing what Jesus called him to do, doing what he had received. Brothers and sisters, every ministry worker, that's all of us. It's not just me and Mark and us who get a salary. Every ministry worker has received from heaven a gift. And we've all received different gifts and different callings. And I don't want us to limit this to, oh, here's the stuff I do at church. For the reality is, for most of us, the calling that we have is not about what we do at church. It's about what we do in our families. It's about what we do in our careers. It's about what we do as we are socializing and making connection. It's about what we do in our retirement. It's about what we do when we're out in the community. We've got a calling there. The activities that we're involved in, we've got a calling there. Now, for some of us, for a few of us, what we do at church is a significant part of our life. That's what we're celebrating today, that Mark and the family have discerned that God is calling them to give a significant part of their life to the ministry of building God's kingdom through the institution of the church. And it's a great thing to celebrate. But we want to understand, for all of us, whether it's Mark, whether it's myself, one of the other wonderful servants of the Lord who sit in this room today and who we know about, whether it's them or whether it's each one of us who we've never been paid to do any ministry, we've never had that calling, we all have a specific calling and a specific gift. And as we go about that calling, we will succeed the most in ministry when we don't worry about comparing ourselves to others. It's a gift that's given to each one of us. Each one of us, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that we do in comparison. It's not something where we go, we're envious of what others have. It's not where we go, I want something different. Or it's not even diminishing the call, because it's not the same as a calling of someone else. Every ministry calling is defined by making sure we put in place what we have been given from heaven. Nothing more. And certainly nothing less. It's a blessing. It's not something that we should allow the certain Jews of this world to cause argument over. And we don't want to fall for that argument. And to help us really not fall for that argument, I want us to focus a little bit more extensively on John 3, verse 29. Where John says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete. This is a really, really powerful imagery that we're focusing on here. In our culture, the friend of the bridegroom is called the best man. In the culture of the day and at the time, the technical name for this person was a shoshbin. Shoshbin. It's a good name. So this is, if you remember nothing else out of the service today, I hope you can remember this one, because next week there's going to be a test. Shoshbin. Being a shoshbin was a very honorable position and calling. It was a honor and a position that produced much joy, because you got to be involved in and participate in all the preparations leading up to the wedding of the bridegroom and the bride. You were the one. So in those days when a wedding took place, the bridegroom would go to the house of the bride and collect her from there, and then they would go back and they would celebrate. As the shoshbin, you were the one who was in that procession going along to go and get the bride. And so you would be the one who had the first-hand experience. And this is a wonderful thing about being a marriage celebrant as well. You've got the groom here, and you've got the bride. She comes down. And this guy, you know, he's tough. He's strong. And then he sees his bride, and he's crying, and he's in tears. And the shoshbin gets to see that, and to see the joy of the bride as she sees her groom, and the joy of this day and this celebration. The shoshbin was the official witness at the wedding, and they would even contribute financially to the wedding, and they would make it their duty to ensure the success of the wedding. It's a very honourable calling. It's a calling to make sure that the bride and the bridegroom did nothing else but focus on their relationship together. And then John the Baptist says, you know what? I'm a shoshbin. I'm a shoshbin. And this is a joyful thing for me, because I've been serving the bridegroom so that the bridegroom can focus on the relationship that's most important in his life, which is on the bride. So who is the bridegroom? And who is the bride that John is talking about? Revelation 19 verse 7 tells us a hallelujah chorus that is sung in the heavens. And that hallelujah chorus says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. This is the imagery that's going on here. And it's a powerful imagery for each one of us as we consider our place in here, because remember, we've all got a calling. Every single one of us. So there's a part of this and an application of this where we can all sit here and say, you know what? We are all shoshbin. We are all a friend of the bridegroom to enable the bridegroom to focus on his bride. And we're building God's kingdom together as this group of shoshbin. We're not the Messiah. We were sent before him. Jesus becomes greater and we become less. And we seek to live our calling out in line with what we've received from heaven. We're all shoshbin. We're all friends of the bridegroom, and it's a joy. And it's a powerful image when you think about it, isn't it? This powerful image that comes out of John 3 that is given to all of us. But it's also a powerful image to think about on an occasion like this, when we are commissioning a ministry worker into a salaried full-time calling. It becomes more powerful when I tell you one of the rules that applied for the shoshbin. There was a series of rules and standards that applied when you were a shoshbin. One of those rules was, under no circumstances could the shoshbin marry the bride. Under no circumstances. Which is a huge relief for those who are in ministry. It is. I've toyed whether I should tell this story or not. I'll take the flack. So there's times in my marriage with Corianna when we've visited married couples. And some of these couples we've known for a long time. And I see things that happen in these marriages, which I won't describe because there's lots of young ears here this morning. And then I'll get alone with Corianna and I'll say something to the effect that, I'm so thankful I'm not married to that woman. Which is really bad to say out loud. I'll cop the flak for it. And I'll even say, she's really not an easy person. I'm not going to say who I talked about, but I've only got one wife. It's Corianna. If God brings you to another woman, great. That's the woman for you. It's also true to say that the church, the bride, she's not really easy to be married to either. The bride, the church, she can be pretty cantankerous and petty. The bride, the church, can be distant and unwelcoming and standoffish. She backbites and she gossips and she blames and she is self-absorbed. There's a lot of sinful behavior that happens in the bride called the church. And yet Jesus, who is the bridegroom, he is committed to her. He is the one that walks alongside her. He is the one that picks her up. He is the one that loves her with a sacrificial love, this agape love, that no matter what, he will hold on to her for all eternity. Jesus is the one who is working on this relationship. That's his job. Jesus' calling, his job, is to bring the relationship between himself, who is the bridegroom, and his church, who is the bride. That's Jesus' job. That's Jesus' calling. That's what he came for. That's why he brings forgiveness. That's why he brings security for all eternity. Jesus is the bridegroom. And we, Mark, myself, we're just the shosh bin. Which is a huge relief. Because here's two things I want you to know. If you are relying on me and Mark for your spiritual life, if you're relying on me and Mark to get you through, you're relying on the wrong people. We're good. We are good. But we're not that good. Because we are the shosh bin. We are the friend of the bride. We are the ones who are called to point the bride to the groom, to point the bride to Jesus. Now, I can tell you, and I know my brother here already, and you know him as well. He will be a man who will sacrifice his time. He will be a man who will pray for you. He will be a man who will give his all. He will serve you faithfully. We have no doubt about that. That's why we called him, yeah? Because we know this man. We know his heart for God. We know his heart for the Savior. We know his heart for the Lord. We know that. We know that for the family as well, for his wonderful wife, Anna. We know that. But he is not the bridegroom, and neither am I. In all of this, Jesus must become greater. Our calling is to go before the Messiah, tell people about Jesus, and point people back to the Messiah. Our calling is to make Jesus greater and ourselves less. Our calling is to serve with all we have from heaven, but to do it in a way that points everything back to Jesus. In a little while, Mark's going to stand before us and he's going to tell us personally about his calling, and he's going to respond to questions as well. And then we're going to go from here as a church, North Pine Baptist Church, and we're going to minister together. And when we minister together like that, when we understand the dynamic that John the Baptist is talking about here, we won't even be thinking about our past. And we won't even be worried about comparing ourselves to others. Because we'll be focused on ministry that's happening here, and we'll be celebrating what God is doing here. What God is going to do here. As we faithfully together commit to serving the Lord as his shosh bin together. And we're not going to allow any certain Jew to distract us from it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your incredible grace and love. Thank you that we are here together as your people. And we celebrate, Lord, what you are doing. We celebrate your love. We celebrate your mercy. We celebrate the calling that you have put on each one of our lives. We celebrate the journey that has brought us here, and we celebrate in thankfulness that we have this day. Lord, as we continue to praise you in song, as we lift up your name, as we witness the vows that we make together as a church, we want to give you all the glory. We want to give you all the praise. We want, Lord, to you to be greater and us to be less. We want to go before you, that people will know of you because we've told them, and they will come to know Jesus. Lord, whether that's our calling here at North Pine Baptist Church or the place wherever you have placed us in God's kingdom today. Lord, work in our lives in such a way that we understand what ministry looks like and how ministry works and how we as your people can walk each day in that calling. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.